your heart. Thank you, guys. Seek me. I wonder how many of us came to church this morning, woke up making plans to come to church, just seeking God. Just seeking Him. We're not going to, but if we took time this Sunday morning to go across this building and every person was honest and willing to speak and open their mouth about what was going on in their lives, what was in your mind this week, this morning, we would have to admit that we were probably a little more consumed with a bunch of all of that than we were what God wanted to do in this place today. We talk all the time about a nation that is going to hell in a hurry. And it is right now. We talk about the dying state of the church in America. And it is. What is it going to take for us to change? I speak to you, I speak to me, and really get serious about everything that is going on. When are we really going to become who we say that we are? Are we ever going to stop just going through the motions? Just floating through life, spiritually speaking. And are we ever going to just rely totally on what we just heard in song, that if we will just seek Him with our whole heart, we will find that in the good days and in the bad days, He is still the same. Good and gracious God. You know, I struggle with this, don't you? What could God do if all of us at Linwood Baptist Church just came to church seeking Him with our whole heart to praise Him, to worship Him, to give Him everything we've got? Those of you that know much about me, then you know that I prepare usually, especially in a series, in advance a bit, and I know where I'm going on a particular Sunday morning, usually a couple of weeks in advance. I've really battled the past couple of weeks about what to do this morning. Where to go and how to even convey what seemed to be on my heart. And I've gone back and forth about a lot of it. But I tell you what God has put on my heart is the matter of worship. Amen. I sat down and I put some thoughts together Friday, and I'm usually, again, a couple of weeks in advance, not even knowing if this is really what we would have on this Sunday morning, not knowing what the weather was going to be like, the circumstances of the world or our lives, and lots happened since that, even in many of our lives. Not knowing who was going to be at church, where our minds were going to be, what our week was like, or certainly not knowing what tomorrow holds. But worship. And how badly we need to worship the Lord. Amen. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me, please, to John chapter number 4. John chapter 4. I just didn't know if this is what we were going to do or not. Stephanie, I just sent you a picture. And in a minute when I tell you, if y'all can prepare this screen, get it, go ahead and put it down. Would you throw that up for me if you can? Let me know if you didn't get it, okay? But this has been real on my heart this week. You know, and when you come to John chapter number 4, we are here given these fantastic and these familiar verses of Scripture concerning Jesus and what has become known as the woman at the well. When you look at this passage of Scripture and the account of this glorious story, you find that it really covers about the first 30 verses of this chapter. Jesus and his disciples, they were leaving Judea and they were making their way toward Galilee once again. And Jesus, listen to me, chose to go through Samaria. His disciples did not understand why at the time, because Samaria was not the place that a Jew would commonly go. They did not like one another. Matter of fact, there was a quicker way to get to where they were going, an easier way. But Jesus said, we need to go through Samaria. I must needs. He said, go to Samaria. You see, whether it was socially, economically, certainly religiously, racially, in any aspect that you want to name it, the Jews and the Samaritans, they simply did not get along. Matter of fact, they hated one another, and it was even dangerous for one to travel through the other area. In this case, for a Jew to travel through the area of Samaria. The story, it goes on to tell us that Jesus sent his disciples away. He sent them into town, and he said, I want you to go and buy provision for us. And I'm going to go on over here. And Jesus did, and he sat down. What we know as Jacob's well. He was there introduced to a Samaritan woman. This Samaritan woman had all kinds of problems. She had all kinds of questions. Aren't you thankful that we serve a God that is interested in your problems? He is interested in answering your questions about the spiritual matters of life. He cares about where you're at today. To make a long story short, and a lot of details in this story, as you read it and you study it, you learn that this woman got gloriously saved. Her life was changed by the presence of Christ Himself. And the details of it, I encourage you to go back and read. But I really just want us to focus on a few verses toward the end of the story. And if you're physically able, stand to your feet. We'll read several verses in John chapter 4, beginning in verse number 19. The Bible said, the woman said unto him, that is Jesus, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers, look at it, worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship. That's number 3, the Father. Verse 22 says, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. They that worship Him, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Did you notice the key word of those 6 verses that I just read? Does somebody want to tell me what it is? 10 times the word worship is used in just these six verses or a form of it. And I want to speak to you this Sunday morning for just a little while, maybe, on something I'm including into a tough topic for today's church. And that is simply this, the war of worship. Sit down if you would, please, but keep your Bible open. It is a shameful and a sad thing that we have to include something so precious, or what should be so precious to our heart, as worship under the title of a tough topic for today's church. But we have come to the point over the past 20, 25, maybe 30 years in our nation alone, not to mention the rest of the world, but in the churches of America and among the hearts of believers, that worship has become an extremely divisive topic. It has become a controversial subject in so many circles. People just don't even know how to respond to various forms of worship anymore. And in various religions and denominations, and including even those that call themselves Baptist, worship has become such a confusing thing. You know, the informal worshipers, they criticize the formal worshipers because they are too high church. The formal worshipers criticize the informal worshipers because they are just too unorganized in their worship. Here it is. The traditional worshipers criticize the contemporary worshipers because they're too loud and they're too casual. The contemporary worshipers, they criticize the traditional worshipers because they are just too far out of touch. On and on I could go, and I could give you 100 different examples, and you know that I could, about the various circles and lanes that there are when it comes to modern day worship today, and the way that this circle and this group tags the other. But our worship, ladies and gentlemen, it has become so shallow. Amen, sir. Our worship has become so much about us. And we have drawn the battle lines of worship to such a degree that people from this side or this side or this lane or this circle or that circle, they can't even get together and worship in a same common place anymore. If somebody sings a song that they do not like, or if someone responds or reacts in their form of worship in a way that the other is just not accustomed to, the whole spirit of worship just seems to be totally turned upside down. And I must say this at the very beginning of our thoughts today, and I want you to hear me and hear me clearly, please. I am not referring to forms of so-called worship that deal with forms of signs of wonders and gifts and all that kind of stuff. I am not talking about forms of worship that are filled with ecumenicalism that violate the true doctrines of the Word of God. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about different styles of worship from different people who have been through different things, but they just simply worship God in a different way. We have had what have said to be and appeared to be sound Baptist people through the years that have come into this place, and they have accused us of being on one side or the other of our worship. And then they've said they will never come back to this church because we worship too differently. We're just too different. What bothers me about that is not the fact that there may be a difference in worship. There's not a doctrinal problem, it's just a different form of worship. What bothers me is how smug the person from this side or the person from that side really is about it. I don't know about you, but sometimes all of that carrying on back and forth, it just gets downright exhausting to those that are within the ranks of God, those that are saved. It is confusing to those that are not saved. They are outside of the ranks of God, and all it does is distract the people of God. Right. Yeah. from reaching a world that is quickly on their way to hell. It has come to the place right now where we can rightfully ask the question, what are we really doing here? Who are we really here to worship? Just because we don't like a certain song, or a certain person doesn't like it, or a certain thing that is said, or something that someone is doing or acting or wearing, we do not have to have our spirit of worship ruined. We are not worshiping them.
Amen.
We are not worshiping that circumstance. It says so much more about who we are spiritually when things that in the big picture are very petty things get in the way of our true worship to the Lord. Why did you come to church today? Who are you here to see? What are you here to pay attention to? We need to understand that, ladies and gentlemen, be it cultures, maybe upbringings, or just the circumstances of life, the road of life that somebody else has been down, people absolutely can and they do worship in different ways. They worship God in different ways. And they are not in violation to the Word of God. The subject of worship in Scripture, it is so in depth. It is so extensive that we can't even begin to get to all the various aspects of it today, and we're not even going to try. But when we look at John chapter 4, and when we look at what is happening in this text, I think the Lord Jesus Himself gives us such simple principles when it comes to this matter of worship. And I want us today to clear up what in many cases is a tough topic among those that are here today. And it need not be a tough topic any longer. And I want us to look at this story today and learn why worship has become such a war, it seems, in our society. The war of worship teaches us, first of all, about the obstacles of worship. The obstacles of worship. It is absolutely amazing to me, Brother Joel, how saved by grace people, people who have been spared from hell, redeemed from hell. They know that they have been redeemed from hell. People who have seen God work and seen God move in their life through the years. And it's evident that God has done a work. It's amazing to me how we still can't worship the Lord. Why do we have such a hard time worshiping God? Why is it that on some Sunday mornings, Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, the electricity is going through this building and people are overwhelmed with wanting to worship the Lord? And it's just so contagious that God just seems to blow the roof spiritually off of this place. And then other Sunday mornings, I'll let you determine which one this is. People have no interest, not only in being at church, they have no interest in acknowledging God. Do you understand that worship should not be driven by our emotions? It should be driven by somebody who is living within us. I struggle with this as much as you struggle with this. But if we come to the point where everything has to be so perfectly aligned, the world would say it, the stars have to align so perfectly for us to want to worship God and for us to carry through with that worship. I forget what the first song is that we sang just a few minutes ago. What was it? No. There's something about that name. I was this close to picking up my phone and taking a video of this building when we were singing about the name of Jesus. And play it here in just a minute. You couldn't have bought a smile, it looked like. And then I'm standing right over here and I hear these youngins down here singing just as loud and off key as some of them probably could, but they were singing the lyrics. And then I looked around and some smiles started to pop up because a child showed up. I'm not trying to be condescending. I planned on preaching this long before Friday, before we ever came into here. Why does it take that to bring any form of joy to our hearts? Why is that the case? Why is it that we have such a hard time worshiping the God who redeemed us? The God who has been so good and so gracious to us? It's because there are obstacles in our worship. There's all kinds of them that we could give in modern day, but in the Word of God, because we want to stay in the Bible, in the Word of God, I think that we are seeing here in this story that the first obstacle of worship to this lady, the Lord Jesus teaches her, is there was a repugnant lifestyle. It was a lifestyle that was rejected by God. That word repugnant, it simply means that it was unacceptable. It was distasteful, extremely distasteful. In this case, it was a sinful lifestyle. And as we continue to go back and study the previous verses of this particular story, we learn as Jesus continued with his evangelistic experience, he begins unpacking and peeling away the layers of the onion of this woman's life. In this, we learn when we come into verse number 16 that this woman, she had been married 5 times. And the man that she was living with now was not even her husband. She was living in an immoral relationship. She was distasteful in her spirituality. She was living in sin. She was unacceptable to God. A repugnant lifestyle that God simply rejected. Church, listen to me. The reason you and I so oftentimes have such a hard time worshiping is because there is sin in our lives. There is things that we have allowed to come into the house of God or into our lives, and it is an obstacle to our worship to the Lord. We allow all this stuff to overwhelm us to the point that we can't even seem to get a hold of God, no matter how hard that we try. Right. We try to focus our mind on God. We try even to force tears to fall. We may even lift our hands and say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But in reality, you know, and even many of the people around us may know, it is as empty and it is as fake and it is as hypocritical as we could ever even begin to imagine. Why? Because God is nowhere near it. God cannot receive our worship. Our spirit of worship is not in line because there is a lifestyle that is repugnant in the face of God. It is rejected by God. God is not pleased with our worship, and to a degree, everything that we're doing, waving our hands, clapping our hands, whatever it might be, it's nothing more than a show to God. Because there are things that are in our lives that He is disgusted by. And as God looked at this woman's life in this story, He looked down and He saw a woman that was living a repugnant lifestyle. So much I could say about that. But let's move on, because we are also seeing that another obstacle to her worship was a religious likeness. She wanted to worship only the way that she had ever been taught that worship was acceptable. It was a religious likeness. You go back to the story and you see as Jesus continues to have this conversation and as Jesus continues to drill down on this matter of worship, Jesus in His infinite wisdom, He begins dissecting the spiritual obstacles of this woman, and He begins to learn that due to some matters in her life, one of the obstacles to her true worship was simply this. She was looking back and she was relying upon a certain form of worship that she had always been taught. It was a religious type of worship. It was based upon her religious upbringing, her mindset that had all been pounded into her head by her ancestors and her forefathers. And that is what she was doing, worshiping the Lord. Her whole idea of worship was what somebody had always told her. It was about examples and not experiences. It was about what her world always said worship really was. Verse number 19, you look at it, the woman said, unto Jesus, Sir, I perceive, hey, thou art a prophet. And then verse 20 said, our fathers, the woman is speaking, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say, in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Okay, there is a lot there that we could really unpack. But let me just tell you this Sunday morning that Jesus is simply letting them know, letting this woman know that worship was different from everything else that she had ever known. See, folks, one day when we get to heaven, let me blow some people's minds here. One day when we get to heaven, we are going to learn that our worship on earth was so much different from what worship in heaven is going to be. We are going to learn that our worship on earth was so empty. It was so vain. And we missed out on so much worship-wise in this life because we were so hung up in what everybody had always taught us and told us worship really was. We only worship the way Granny and Granddad told us to worship. We only worship the way Mom and Dad have always taught us to worship. Don't misunderstand me, not for one minute. Let me just clear this up. I'm not saying they were wrong. As a matter of fact, God give us some people in this generation that'll go back and worship God the way Granny did at the base of her rocking chair, the way old Granddad did out in the middle of the woods by that stump where went and he sought God. God give us some people in this generation that will worship Him that way. But could it be? Could it be that in 2023, God had some more worship in store for this generation that was different from Granny and Granddad? God had something more. God had something deeper. God had something that He wanted you and I to tap into and get a hold of in our life today for a world that is worse than it was in their generation. For a world that is more spiritually confused today than it was in their generation. For a world that is more spiritually divided today than it was in their generation, could it be that as great as the worship was for Grandma and Grandpa and Mom and Dad, God had some other form of worship that He wants you and I to get a hold of? He wants you and I to worship God in this world from His world today, and it may be a little different. It may require a brand new form of power of God to mark down and put down that wall that is being built around this matter of worship today. And I think that we have in many cases put ourselves in the box of the way that it has always been. You know how uncomfortable many of us would feel if we went back to the day at Pentecost. God had a form of worship for Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. He had a form of worship in the first century and in the 5th century and the 15th century and straight on through. And God has got a form of worship today for you and for I that we need to tap into. But you need to understand that the reason we are not experiencing it is because there are obstacles of worship. There are personalities that just don't like the other. There is sin that is repugnant in life. There is this religious ditch that we have all fallen into. God is nowhere near all this stuff. God wants us to get a hold of Him and lay ourselves out before Him in true worship, no matter what the circumstances of life are. It speaks of who we are spiritually and how the obstacles of worship are governing our lives and governing the church. Not only the obstacles of worship, but there is the order of worship. There's so much that we could explore when talking about the order of worship. But ladies and gentlemen, before worship will ever be in our lives what God intends it to be, are you listening to me? There must first be a personal examination. Don't run to some other form of worship until you examine your heart and your life to make sure that you are ready to worship. You are prepared to worship. You are pure to worship. There must be this personal examination that we have of our lives. look again in these verses, beginning in verse number 20. The woman says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. It's a different dispensation, you see, that they're dealing with there. And I'll answer those questions if you have them later. But look at verse number 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, I love that phrase, when the, what's it say? True worshipers. Goes on to tell about how he worships in spirit and truth. Don't miss that word, true worship. You know what it's telling us? There are people who are putting on the show of worship. They're not real. It's not true. It's just a show. It's just a show. It may be a show in your flesh so people will look at you as you worship God and do this and do that, and in many cases acting foolish and acting crazy and doing all that kind of stuff. Or maybe you faking a tear just to try to stir your emotions. It's not true worship. It's not worship based on spirit and truth. There are people who truly want to worship God. Amen. That's the people that I want at church. Amen. That's the people who want God. That's the people who will go through whatever they've got to go through. Get a hold of God. To seek Him with their whole heart. A true worshiper. Are you a true worshiper today? I mean, is that why you came to church today? It's not because you didn't want the preacher calling you. It's not because that you wanted to go and see somebody at church. You wanted to get the coffee, maybe the donut that the Sunday school class provided. Maybe you wanted to hear the song. Maybe you wanted to go to lunch with everybody after. Oh, that's great, but that's not true worshipers. Amen. True worshipers are those who will make their way into the presence of God no matter how bad life really is, how confusing life really is. Hold on to those verses that I just read. We'll circle back around to them in just a moment. But when Jesus speaks in these verses of worshiping Him in spirit, He is referring to worship based upon who and what He is. And then when He speaks of worshiping in Him truth, He is speaking of worship based upon who you and I are, because we're such liars. There's no truth in us when it comes to our worship anymore. We have got to stop and come to the place in our life where we get really good and honest with ourselves about who we are and who He is. The only reason you woke up this morning is because a God that deserves worship allowed you to wake up. We get all this stuff in our minds and in our airways and in every area of life that interfere and obstruct in the order of our worship. We've got to come to the place where we're not worried about what he or she posted on Facebook. We're not worried about what he or she said to us or behind our back. We're not worried about how hypocritical our spouse or our child or our friend actually is. We're not worried about the temperature of the building. We're not worried because it's too loud. It's not loud enough. We're not worried because somebody sang a song we just didn't like. Remember, nobody's worshiping you. Amen. We're not worried about all of these various things, but we are examining our heart. And we are examining our life to make sure that we are here for the right reasons. That our worship is honest. and that our worship is pure before a good God who deserves every bit of it. There's got to be a personal examination. Have you done such an examination on this Sunday morning? To make sure that your heart is pure, your heart is right, you are here for the right reasons. You've got to do that. Because when you and I do that, there will then be a proper expression in the order of our worship. I'm not going to read those verses again. I told you to hold on to them. They're in your lap on your Bible right now. But in these verses, we are seeing Jesus telling this republic and this religious woman. He's laying it straight out to her that it is irrelevant. Are you listening to me? It is irrelevant how other people worship. It is irrelevant what their heritage and their upbringing has been. It is irrelevant whether she worships on the mountain or in the city. He said it doesn't matter. What really matters, listen to me, church, is how you worship. Are you worshiping God as God desires and requires to be worshiped based upon the Word of God? I feel like that I've got to say it again, and I hope you'll allow me to, but I am not referring to any form of ecumenicalism. I'm not referring to any form of worship that is not true, that does not align with the doctrines of the Word of God. And if you for one second allow that thought to even enter your mind or otherwise, can I graciously say to you, you may be part of the problem and reason why there is such a war with worship that is going on today. I'm just talking about different people in the family of God that are coming together to worship God, who may have had a different road you've traveled, who may come from a different culture than maybe right here in the Southeast, who may have been in different circumstances and places of life, just different styles and purity of worship. It is possible that people can worship God differently.
Amen.
Than what you've always known. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not here today to discredit, to degrade, or to dismantle loud preaching or quiet preaching. I'm not here to disgrade or dismantle any form of classical Christian music. Bluegrass. If you like it, go for it. Southern gospel, the old hymns, contemporary Christian music. I'm not here to dismantle any of those sorts of things. I'm not here to tell you that you ought to worship by lifting your hands, by shedding your tears, or just sitting there and soaking everything in that you can. I'm not here to tell you that you should not worship by shouting to the Lord or running an aisle if you want to. I'm not here to tell you that you should not worship by clapping your hands to the Lord. Yeah, I came out of a church that clapped for everything. They clapped for everything. The service started. They clapped. The opening song is done. They clapped. The offertory is played. They clapped. The ushers made it safely up and down the aisles. They clapped. At the end of the special song, they clapped. If somebody fell down the steps on the stage, they clapped. That's a fact. That happened one time, didn't it? They clapped. They clapped for everything. Let me tell you what I loved about it, though, is it wasn't only restricted to certain things. When the man of God went to preaching and the power of God fell in that place, the way many expressed it is they clapped. They clapped. You say, are we not opposed to clapping? You worship God how you worship God. And what aligns with the Word of God. I am not here, and it is irresponsible for anyone to ever stand in any place and tell you that if you are not in biblical line, you worship him how you feel led of God to worship him. And if there's a problem with it, go read Psalm 41:1. It'll tell you different on that aspect. I found myself before where the glory of God begins to stir in my heart, and I find myself sitting over here clapping my hands. You've heard it. I looked out one Sunday and I went to preaching in a big way. There was one of our dear ladies, older ladies, sitting over here. She went to clapping her hands just like that. I think you have to be careful about the whole aspect of applauding in church and what you're applauding for. But you need to understand that if God leads upon your heart to worship him through your hands, you worship him through your heart, through your hands, you worship him through your feet, you lift your hand, you shout, you run an aisle, you line yourself with the word of God. And I am not going to try to tell you what true worship in your life is as long as it aligns with the word of God. Worship to him. Again, I'm not reading those verses again, but it outlines all of that. How and why have we come to the place where we have self-appointed ourselves as judge, jury, and executioner of what somebody else's worship really, really should be? Who do we think we are? And again, I'm talking about things that aren't violating the Word of God. I'm talking about languages we can understand. I'm talking about somebody that worships God in a way that you may not worship the Lord. This thing is so divisive because people think that we can only worship God this way or that way or whatever. It's a war today in worship. I will also go ahead and say that I've been in places before where, can I just put it this way, my spirit did not bear witness. You understand what I'm saying with what was going on in an event or a service? And you and I were in a meeting one night, and it was evident that our spirit did not bear witness with some things that were going on there. And I've thought about that extensively. And I've thought to myself, God was no doubt in the building. God dealt with my heart a few minutes later concerning something else. Does it not speak a little bit to what our worship is just because something may be just a little bit different? Can I tell you, we've just got to be careful about that. We've got to be careful about it. Because we cannot restrict our worship to the Lord based on what somebody else is saying, doing, or what somebody else may think. It is not true worshipers to the Lord when we just cut our worship off because of the influence and impact that somebody else has had upon us. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, our hunger for worship for the living God, the God who has redeemed us, the God that has been so, so abundantly good for us, it ought to be so real, it ought to be so great within our life that it doesn't matter whatever is going on, it doesn't matter how long that it takes or how we biblically worship the Lord, we worship God until we have satisfied the hunger of our worship in a way that brings glory to God. You've got to have a hunger for worship. You've got to want to worship God. There's an old French proverb. Gripped my heart this week when I read it. It says, a good meal, it ought to begin with a hunger. It's hard to enjoy a meal when you're not yet hungry. But when you are hungry, anything tastes good. I have not been hungry enough to find a Brussels sprout that tastes good. I'm not saying I won't be one day. But I'm telling you that when it comes to this matter of worship, if we'll just get hungry to link up with the very God of the universe because of what he has done for us, and if we are just simply hungry to worship him, we will learn that our worship will be satisfied by him. I'm telling you that before every service begins, the altars of God in this place, they really should be full. People should be in them before the first song is sung, before the first announcement is given, the first prayer is given, on our faces before God, crying out, "Dear God, thank you for saving me. Dear God, forgive me of how I failed you in my sin. Dear God, I'm hungry for the meal today. Would you come and satisfy my hunger as I come to you and worship today?" The obstacles of worship, the order of worship, the obligation of or to worship. Verse 23, "For the Father seeketh such to worship him." I love that word, seeketh. The Father, God, is looking for somebody to worship him. He's looking for somebody from here to there. He's looking for somebody to worship him. He's hungry for it. But we don't feed him. He's there and he's saying, "I'm hungry to receive your worship. The only thing that'll satisfy my hunger is for you to worship me. But your mind is so locked on this, that, this person, that person, whatever issue, the obstacles of worship. Here I am starving for what you could give me." God desires, God expects us to worship him. Now think about it. We're seeing right now in this text that there is a present opportunity that he has given us to worship him. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. Tonight, when the Morrisons are up here singing. You don't have to wait till next week when maybe your buddy's back in church. Maybe everything's just a better week for you that you've had. You don't have to wait until then. Verse 23, "But the hour cometh, and now is." Now is when the true worshipers, he says, the ones who really want it. Now is the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Skip to verse number 25. "The woman said unto Jesus, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee, I'm he." He says, "I'm the one." Jesus is saying, "Here I am. I am waiting right now for you to worship me. I am giving you an opportunity to pour your worship out before me." I think sometimes that we get so hung up in all these obstacles and all of these other things and the forms of politics of preference in worship that we miss the opportunity that is right in front of us to worship the King of Kings.
Amen.
And the Lord of Lords. Couldn't help but let my mind wander this week to those that have gone on home. And I thought about this yesterday. There's all kinds of them, but I thought about old Jerry and Edward. Thought about two old men who just loved God. They just loved to worship God. Nobody ever had to prime them. Nobody ever had to twist their arm to worship the Lord. It did not matter how tired they were. It did not matter how bad they physically felt. I remember in those latter days with Jerry how that after the stroke and after the effects of everything that had hit him and vaccine results and all these kind of things, I remember how he just wasn't quite as sharp anymore and he wasn't where he was supposed to be, but he was at church. Everything wasn't together, but these old boys, they were always here. They were always taking full advantage of every opportunity that God had given them to worship him. Why? Because they had not yet gotten over what God redeemed them from.
Amen.
Now God pulled them out of the grips of hell. And they had never yet gotten over all of that stuff. We are missing something in this generation of worship that those two old boys had. And it's quickly going away, that people don't even understand what true worship really was anymore. That you pour yourself out before God, no matter the obstacles of the circumstances of life. And that's why we've got to protect the spirit of this church. Even though it may be some tough times in life. God is giving us an opportunity, a present opportunity right now to worship the Lord. Are you really doing it? Are you really doing it? Not by shouting, lifting your voice, not by waving your hands necessarily, not by shedding your tears, not by clapping your hands, whatever it might be, however God through His Spirit moves upon you. How are you really worshiping the Lord right now? Because you see, a present opportunity, it should translate to a passionate outpouring. In whatever way, there ought to be a passionate outpouring. These verses are telling the tremendous story of how this woman placed her faith in Jesus Christ. And then you know what it says? It says that she went into her town and she began telling everybody about what Jesus, this man, had done for her. I love how it says it in verse number 29. She says, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this Christ?" I'm locked into those words this morning. Come see a man. That's when worship gets real. You're coming to see the man, God. When you and I fill this building with people who need Christ, it'll be when you go out and you begin telling people, come see a man who delivered me from alcohol. Come see a man who put my broken, busted up family back together. Come see a man who is working in my husband or my wife's life. Come see a man who saved every member of my family. Come see a man who pulled the most vile, wretched man that was running from bar to bar and fighting with everybody that he could. Come see a man who can change his life. That's when worship becomes real, when you understand that there is a God that can still do what He did for this woman. You will not miss an opportunity to worship somebody. Amen. So good. So real. I'm finished. Thursday was Thanksgiving. It was a good day. Good day. Went to Dad and Joyce and we got a big meal. Wonderful. Fell asleep on the couch. Wonderful. Got up and had to go get something that Eddie was wanting, some grape juice. And then we went over to her mom and daddy's house, Melissa's mom and daddy's house, and got there, sat down, had another great meal. It's good. Everybody just gathered around in the living room, and the Colquitt family have always been very musical people, singing. Grandparents, parents, just they sing. And they all gathered around, and with technology today, they had their phones and they were plugging up these playlists on the big screen TV. And it was basically karaoke, but of Christian gospel choir types, music, hymns, all various types of things. And they would just simply run through and you could see it happening on their phone. They would hit it and it would highlight the words. And so everybody started singing along. Songs of praise to God. Amen. 12 or 15 maybe? People in that room. That little living room. The glory of God moved in. People started to understand what was happening. The presence of God was there. Eddie, who was leaned back in his recliner, who always sang his whole life, went to worshiping the Lord. I couldn't help but pick up my phone, go Ed Stephanie, and snap some pictures.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I bet for 2 hours we sang.
Amen.
Worshiped the Lord.
Yeah.
A man eaten up with cancer. Can't go to church. Can't. He doesn't have a runny nose or a headache or a toenail ache. Can't go to church. Worshiping. Listen to me. There are some things that we don't understand about worship. This is a picture of a man who warred through all of the stuff of life.
Right.
And when it came down to what matters,
yeah,
he figured out what worship really is.
Amen.
Couldn't hardly sing. He's tried. Just worshiping. Listen to me. As God was moving that night, there were some things, no doubt, in people's forms of worship that would have made some people feel a little bit uncomfortable because it's out of their box of worship. I'm telling you, though, it is a lesson that every one of us need to learn. And here it is. Do not be critical of the way some people worship.
Amen.
I've talked to you about several things this morning, and I've seen the looks on some of your faces. I have seen the way that you're responding to what I'm saying, and I've seen how people's minds are running this way and that way, but I am telling you, do not be critical about the way some people worship based on the Word of God. Why? Because you do not know the high price that they are having to pay.
Amen.
To bring them to that point.
That's right.
Of worship. People pay a high price to get there, where all the stuff doesn't matter anymore. But they're just going to worship God their way, no matter what anybody else thinks. This is certainly not in reference to Eddie. It's not in reference to Eddie, I promise you that. But Linwood Baptist Church, don't wait until difficulty or tragedy comes in your life.
Amen.
To really start worshiping the Lord the way you could have done it when you'll one day look back and say, boy, that November 26th day, things were just so perfect in my life and I didn't realize it. Because this person's not here, or this song was sung, or this order was done, or this circumstance of work or family or whatever the obstacle, I let get in the way of worship. Maybe some of us just need to learn today to worship, not knowing what tomorrow holds. Stand to your feet.